This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts. And if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, sadly, Hertfordshire is one of the most nature-depleted counties in one of the most nature-depleted countries. So when it comes to nature recovery, well, we've got more to do than most. And to enable nature recovery, we need to have the people who own the land on board. We need experts who can advise what needs to be done on board. And we need people and companies with money to spend on the necessary projects there too. But in order to bring all these people together and ensure that we're working most effectively, we need a strategy. And it turns out that Hertfordshire is leading the way with its local nature recovery strategy. It's being prepared under the auspices of the Local Nature Recovery Partnership and has reached the stage where we, the public, are now being asked what we think in a consultation that's open until the 8th of September. But whilst the Local Nature Recovery Strategy sounds like a really good idea, will it have teeth? Will it be helping the right species? And why are our views important? Well, who better to ask than Councillor Paul Zukowski, Chair of the Hertfordshire Local Nature Recovery Partnership. I spoke to Councillor Zukowski and I started by asking him to tell us exactly what a local nature recovery strategy is.
The intention is to identify those areas that are most compatible with improving nature the most. So lots of people might have opinions about the environmental benefits of improvements in their local park or the local woods. But in terms of actually understanding and trying to quantify what possible enhancements there are and how that will piece together and link together to form a network, a web of environmental improvements across the county, we need to understand where those opportunity areas are and how they're linked to the wider network of nature across the county. So the Local Nature Recovery Strategy attempts to look for areas where there is already ecosystem benefits for the community, for our society, and where we may be able to make linkages and networks and develop areas to augment nature in the most effective, efficient, and cost-effective way.
Okay. And how will it be useful? I wondered if it got any teeth. Is it something that will absolutely stop development of certain areas, or is it more of a guidance document?
I think it does have teeth. I think there are certain areas where you would not want to see development, and the local nature recovery strategy will look to prevent development in particular areas. But equally, it may guide development, and it's certainly one of its core intentions is to guide development to areas where growth and development might be more acceptable from a biodiversity perspective than other areas where it might be less acceptable. So it builds on the information that we've already got about nature and where that is best found, and allows us to try and develop that. So it will provide limitations to development, but it will also provide, I think, opportunities, right? And where we can leverage things like off-site biodiversity net gain, that can actually be used to augment those good bits of nature that might become excellent bits of nature.
Okay, well, that sounds like that could be positive. And is this something that every county has to prepare, or is this something that Hertfordshire has decided to do?
I know it's been trailed as a national approach to delivering local nature recovery, but Hertfordshire is certainly in the cutting edge, the leading edge of getting their strategies developed. And I believe Hertfordshire's local nature recovery strategy is one of the first to have gone out to consultation in the UK.
So it's not finished yet, but what will the strategy consist of? What will this document be?
An approach to understanding how habitats are fauna and flora are linked together. And, you know, one of the things that is very key in terms of understanding ecosystems and habitats is understanding how key indicator species can actually give you an indication of the health or otherwise of that particular area. And the strategies identified a whole series of key species that we're going to be looking at attempting to develop, build up, and even potentially reintroduce into Hertfordshire. Will demonstrate that those particular areas and habitats are thriving and take it from there. So hopefully that sort of answers the question.
Okay. Could you give us an example of some of those key species? Are there any we might have heard of?
I think there are an awful lot that you might have heard of. One of the really critical ones is the nightingale. So everybody has heard of the nightingale, but remarkably few people in Hertfordshire have heard a nightingale. And the reason for that is that in Hertfordshire, it is locally extinct. We have no records in recent years of nightingales in Hertfordshire. And yet it's considered a key indicator species. And we would absolutely like to see nightingales come back to Hertfordshire. It would give us a really key indicator species for that particular habitat and the health of that particular habitat. One of my personal favourites is the adder. Again, extinct in Hertfordshire, but it might be one that, with caution and with the right sort of controls, might be one we look to reintroduce in the future.
Okay, well, that sounds fantastic, particularly having nightingales back in Hertfordshire. I think a lot of people would definitely welcome that. And so the strategy will show us areas which need some kind of a change or development, I don't mean building on, but some kind of help in order to support these key species. And we'll be able to see this on maps within the strategy. Am I right there?
That's absolutely correct, yes. So the mapping that is being produced looks at a range of different habitats and species and looks at their distribution within Hertfordshire and tries to grade that habitat and outline what interventions may actually improve the quality of that particular habitat, as well as looking at the linkages of that habitat to other areas. Because one of the things that we've done with development over the centuries, really, is we've chopped Hertfordshire up into bits, and the interconnectivity between habitat areas has been significantly undermined. And actually, one of the key bits in the local nature recovery strategy is looking and prioritising habitat areas where those links might be re-established.
And just to clarify, this isn't saying that these things will be done, but it's suggesting that if somebody could do these would be encouraged.
Absolutely, yes, yes. And one of the parts of this is the development of the Hertfordshire Nature Recovery Partnership. And that partnership is still emerging, but some key players are already in the room. So representatives of the National Farmers Union, of major landowners in Hertfordshire, of key agricultural and wildlife area owners, and some larger companies and organisations as well, the University of Hertfordshire and so on.
Oh, right. And you've also got experts in nature recovery, people like the Wildlife Trust, people like the Environment and Agency. So it's nice that you've got a great combination of people who will understand what needs to be done and people who are in a position to actually do something as well.
Absolutely. And what we're looking at is some of the conduits to enable that work to actually be done. And that's a really critical bit, because what you also need is the support and structures to be able to do that work. And that's a really critical component of this. And we're looking for the Hertfordshire Nature Recovery Partnership to include organisations like the Herts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust, but also to include it companies and organisations that are keen to deliver on this kind of thing from a corporate social responsibility perspective. Some of those organisations may be willing to support financially works to deliver biodiversity gains on some of those areas of land. And we're absolutely in a position where we're looking to leverage that.
That sounds like you've got a lot of experts involved here in the creation of this strategy. So why are you consulting with us, the public, about it?
Well, I think no one knows areas around where they live better than the people who live there. And there are massive numbers of people who are passionate about the environment and the environment that they're in. They're the ones that, for example, the Hertfordshire Biological Records Centre records, a huge proportion of those records are from amateur surveyors and from volunteers who provide their time to help their local environment. And they know it better than anyone. So actually, we need to tap into that resource. We need to tap into that knowledge base. So we're asking people, is this the right place as far as you're concerned? Are these boundaries the right boundaries? Are the indicator species the right indicator species? Really sort of fundamental stuff like that, because we want to hear from those community experts that are out there.
Right. And how about the rest of us who aren't necessarily community experts might want to put our vote in for a nightingale?
Indeed. Well, absolutely. And we have to live in Hertfordshire. It's our home, as well as the home for all this nature. And we want to be able to live together in harmony, don't we? So I'm really keen that people have a look at this and think about their area and see what the categorization of their local playing fields are and you know, see whether they think that that's the right approach and whether our plans and direction of travel is the one that they think we should be taking. Because at the end of the day, without community support, the environment won't get the support it needs. So engaging with the public is absolutely essential.
Yeah. Indeed. Now, you've made it nice and easy for us to take part. We can take part online, or you have copies in the local library as well. When do you hope that the local nature recovery strategy will be finished, and where will we find it so we can all start to use it?
I think that's going to be sometime in 2026. The consultation period runs until the 8th of September. So we're really, really keen that everybody who wants to has their voice heard by the 8th of September. On the 9th of September, officers will be starting to collate that information, feed it into the strategy, modify and tweak it. And we're expecting that to then come to cabinet panels and so on at the county council and to the Nature Recovery Partnership for endorsement later this year, and for it to become active, I think, early next year. But that would bear checking, I think.
And ultimately, how will the local nature recovery strategy fit in with other planning documents?
The local nature recovery strategy will become a key component of a thing called the growth plan. And the growth plan is something that is being proposed to bring all of the disparate planning strategies and directions together, including local plans. So, you know, the local plan for housing, for economic development, the economic strategy, the local nature recovery strategy, and various other bits of work about how we use land and where are going to be drawn together into a growth plan, probably in kind of 2030 or maybe later than that. So the LNRS becomes a really core strand of that wider kind of planning and strategic planning document.
Indeed. Well, that sounds like it makes a lot of sense, rather than having the LNRS telling us one thing and the local plan saying another thing. So that would be great to see them all working together there. So hopefully, as you say, we can get the houses we need, but also be helping nature too. Well, we look forward to hearing that it's ready for us to use and to help nature recovery. Councillor Dukowski, thank you very much indeed for telling us about that today.
No problem, Amanda, anytime.
I was talking there to Councillor Paul Dukowski, Chair of the Local Nature Recovery Partnership. And I'll make sure that the link to the local nature recovery strategy consultation is included in the notes that go with the podcast of this show and that you'll find on the podcast page of mix926.com. So I filled in the questionnaire and I did find it quite hard, actually. I mean, how do you choose between helping bluebells or helping nightingales or between helping worms or swifts? And I suppose that's why it's so important to hear what we, the public, think, so that at least the Local Nature Recovery Partnership knows that we support the choices that inevitably they have to make. And of course, just because we designate some species as priority species, it doesn't mean that work to help other species will have to stop. And as we've heard many, many times here on Environment Matters, there is plenty that we can all do to help all sorts of wildlife in our own gardens and outdoor spaces. So how are you helping nature? It's lovely to hear from you. You can get in touch via email. I'm on amanda.yorworth@mix926.com or look for Environment Matters on Mix 92.6 on X and on Facebook. And just a quick reminder that if you missed last week's episode and you're looking after kids off school for the summer holidays, or you know somebody else who is, then do head to the podcast page of mix926.com where you'll find the show, which is brimming with you, the listeners, lovely ideas for summer holiday activities. You'll find a treasure trove of ideas that help kids engage with nature, involve them in creating healthy food, get them using sustainable transport or learning a craft, all sorts of other eco-activities which are good for the planet and which are kind to the purse too. I'll be with you at the same time next week when we'll be hearing how the Herts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust's own nature recovery activities have helped a rare plant to return to one of their nature reserves. And we'll also be discussing why we should be as excited about the return of a rare plant as we are about the nesting of peregrine falcons. Until then, thank you for listening.